We humbly beseech thee to vouchsafe thy blessing on this council, direct and prosper our deliberations to the glory and welfare of the people of this shire and throughout our country. Amen. Lockhart Shire acknowledges the traditional custodians of the land, the Wiradjuri people, and pays respects to elders past, present and future, and extends the respect to all First Nations people in the Lockhart Shire. Statement of ethical obligations in accordance with clause 3.21 of the Lockhart Shire Council Code of Meeting Practice. Councillors are reminded of their oath or affirmation of office made under section 233A of the Act and their obligations under the Council's Code of Conduct to disclose and appropriately manage conflicts of interest. Councillors, visitors and officers are reminded that the accordance with clause 5.33 of the Lockhart Code of Meeting Practice, the proceedings of the council meetings are recorded and an audio recording of each council meeting is made available on council's website. Right, apologies. Councillor Sharp. Someone like to move? Mm-hmm. Councillor Rockcliffe, Councillor Walker. All those in favour say aye. Is anyone seeking leave of absence? No one? Right. Confirmation of the minutes of the ordinary meeting on the 20th of March 2023. Councillor Matthews? Councillor Hunter? All those in favour say aye. Against? Carried. Declarations of pecuniary and non-pecuniary interests? None. Mayoral minute? There's none. Report on mayoral and councillor activities? That's mine up there on the board.
Show off.
Any other councillor wish to? Yes, Councillor Day?
Delegates to report for the Lockhart Gymnasium. We attended the newly formed Gymnasium Committee at the Lockhart Citizens Club. It was the first successful meeting with representatives from major stakeholders, including the Bendigo Bank, Lockhart Community Bank, quite a number of different stakeholders across the community, and to move into the future. On the next suggestion, a working party was formed and further information was presented to the councillors and council to be updated. And I would just like to acknowledge Councillor Bob Matthews and the Director of Corporate Services, Craig Fletcher, for attending.
Thank you. Further councillors? Councillor Driscoll.
The 12th of April, I attended the Rock Progress meeting and I stood in for the Mayor for the ABC panel in the day.
Yes, I went to attend a meeting with the TEDSC with Matt Holt, the subcommittee group looking at the walls of fame, and then a meeting which we're doing to the multi-purpose centre on the 4th of 4th as well.
Thank you. Councillor Hunter?
Avondale Place opening on the 22nd of March, and a site meeting on Mittagong Road with Councillor Marston, and on the 23rd of March, the Director of Engineering.
All right, very good. Anyone else?
I attended the Riverina Zone Bushfire Management Committee meeting on the 4th of April.
Thank you, Councillor Walker. Somebody remove that those reports be accepted. Councillor Marston, seconded. Councillor Matthews, all those in favour say aye.
Aye.
Against, carried. Urgent motion matters, there are nil. Notice of motions, there are nil. Committee reports. Uh, Or delegates' report, sorry. Delegates' report first. We have a delegates' report, delegates' report from the Riverina Regional Library Advisory Committee meeting, and one from the Lockhart Shire Traffic Committee meeting, and we have a late one from the bushfire meeting. I did see that there somewhere.
Can I ask a question on the Shire County Traffic Committee?
Certainly.
I'd be interested to know how often it's held. I must admit, I wasn't really aware that I probably should be aware of it existed, but I wasn't aware of it. How often is it held? And it's available for us to put feedback in or suggestions and questions and whatever. Is that...
Through you, Mr. Mayor. So most traffic committees are generally held on a calendar basis, but because of the low volume of items, they tend to get sent out and done just via email for approval as an item comes up. The last month, because I had the four items, I just proposed to have an actual meeting. So I'm council's delegate on the committee, so basically just report through, but there's Transport for New South Wales, police and local member are invited to be and provide feedback.
If any of the residents have an issue with it, I raise it to raise it with me.
Correct.
You okay? That?
Right. Yeah, sorry, I was going to add, that's if it can't be dealt with just by council. So it's only like statutory requirements.
Well, not in particular, but I have been asked about the fact that some of our residents still think that 50k down the main street is very fast. And possibly, if there's any possibility of reducing the 40, would be an advantage to the good old little old ladies and gentlemen trying to back out from.
Yes. Certainly that was actually one of the items I raised in general business for the traffic committee, whether a 40 kilometre shared zone would be supported by Transport for New South Wales, but didn't want to go too much further without seeing what council's support was and the community support, but definitely that's something that would be raised if council wished.
You'd be happy to know the new 50k zone at the Rock has received mixed reports. Especially by those who have been booked.
I haven't been booked.
No. Anyway, thank you. So somebody move those reports. Councillor Marston, Councillor Walker. All those in favour say aye.
Aye.
Right. Status report.
Page one, if I can... Yesterday, there was the first very preliminary meeting of the users group at the for the airstrip. There were five people there. Jackson Strong is going to be the spokesman. He's going to start liaising with the council, and their biggest concern at the start was the buildings and the keys, getting the return the keys back and whatever. So, but it has started, and they've had their first get together.
Okay. So they're not looking at a 355 committee, it's just a working...
I think they're talking about 355, but it's a very preliminary get.
Right.
And I've said I'm happy to go with them when I meet with them, if they, but at this stage, they are talking 355, but they haven't made a key.
Okay. Anyone got any comment on that? No? Right, okay. You okay,
not necessarily. It's under the Act, any land we own, council owns, has to be classified as either operational or community. They're the two classifications for this particular purpose. Generally speaking, you know, as the name implies, community land is land that's held for the community and community use. Operational land is land that council uses in its operations. And the main difference between the two is you have a lot more flexibility in how you deal with land that's classified as operational.
Yes.
The difficulty is if we didn't classify it as operational, it would automatically default to community, and then our hands are tied in how we lease or do.
Yeah.
The flexibility is more about lease terms, whether you can sell it or not. You know, community land. It's like, you know, the Crown Reserve. It's very hard to dispose of it or do something else with.
I just want to make a comment on the local environment plan. It's that the number of comments I have had back from people to say, "Oh, was that on exhibition or whatever?" There was quite a bit of chatter on the Rock Community thing about the Semmons Road and a few other places, and maybe we need to, just for future purposes, when we do put something on public exhibition as significant as our LEP, is that we might need to highlight it a bit more in our community newsletter or whatever to say where it's available. So that's just for future reference. Page 7. Is that on page 7?
No.
No, okay.
That's been collated as we speak, so.
Thank you. I don't know what page it's on. I'll take that one.
Thank you. Page 8.
You have a question for the Director of Engineering. Those disaster recovery funding arrangements, do you have a priorities list at the moment? Which one's going to be done in what order?
Through you, Mr. Mayor. The priority list is as they are numbered on that resolution. I've taken that as a priority list that council agreed.
That was agreed at our meeting? Right.
So is there an update on where that's up to? The money's coming, but is it in the planning stage now? Or?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, so council had to do some estimates, provide preliminary works plans, and we've submitted that. And I believe the projects will commence next financial year.
Because we've had, you know, since, again, we've had two rain events, and that's been just the same issues, particularly for number one and number two.
Yeah, so I'm meeting out with a contractor tomorrow to just look at temporarily bridging that. I think I sent you an email with the bridge over. So
yeah.
I'm meeting with him tomorrow, so that will happen before this project, the full project, gets up, just so we can do the access at least in front of the school there. But the actual drainage works and the bigger project will be next financial year.
Yeah, I'm just wondering, because that, again, I'm a stalker on social media. It was terrible at the Rock again, you know, and we saw it from your report of all the things that you had to attend to, Mr. Mayor, on speaking to the media. So just wondering, you know, can we get some information out there to our residents that this is, you know, our stages, what they are, timelines, how much money is going to be spent, you know.
Yeah.
I think we just need to be, yeah, jumping in there sometimes and
negativity
down with some positivity.
No, I agree, and I think the general manager made some comments in the Daily Advertiser as to where we're, which I thought were really good points. But even, as you say, like Emily Street, like I've already progressed engaging the engineering consultant, getting the design done even before we got this money, but getting that out there, like obviously the work can't happen straight away, like we need to make sure we're not going to make it worse for some residents and, you know, better for others. So I agree. I think
if we
can get that out
as
where we are.
Residents who are affected all the time on there, you know, a door knocker or something, anyway, just to, and they can then spread the.
Our proposal is here, Councillor Hunter, is that the Rock Progress Association have organised a meeting with people next Friday. And I'm meeting with the director tomorrow just to go over the project, so we can get some idea of what's happening. And once we have the final proposal in from the consultant and what we intend to do, Well, there will then be consultation with the residents of that of the street to say this is what we propose.
But yeah, those things all take this much
time.
I realise that. But it's just, you know, back here when things happen.
It's very hard explaining it to people when water's coming through.
So we can just keep feeding information of stages, costs, you know, things we've ticked off, and like, so it is seen, because you are doing something, that it is happening, it needs to be relayed, that's all.
Oh, the present time, they're only having a shot at the mayor and the council, not all the councillors at this stage.
I get the call, you're on every time.
All right. So the initial program was approved. We've just got to provide the costings for that now.
We provided the costings.
So that list has been approved.
Yeah, they're very careful, Mr. Mayor, if I can jump in there, they're very careful with their wording. So the way the process worked was we had to give a general overview of all our projects, and based on that they make a decision whether to release the funds to us or not. Now, based on the general overview of each project, they release the $1 million to us, and now we have 3 months to come up with a detailed scoping, milestones, budget, and all, you know, all the detail. And in giving us the $1 million, they have said, you know, that's not necessarily approval of each project. You know, they're waiting the next level of detail. So it was good enough for them to release the money to us. It's obviously given them a certain degree of comfort. But, you know, they just going on the record of saying until they get the next level of detail, it's not a final tick off.
That's what I thought. That was my understanding of that. Okay, everyone clear on that? Right. Page 9.
Just want clarification, the very last item there, and I may have missed, it could have been mentioned in the March meeting that I missed, but it says the Rock Community Centre and the land we're trying to purchase, and says complete. So what does that mean? Have we purchased that land? Have they accepted that offer? What does that actually mean?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, the part that's complete is part B, which actually relates to that contaminated land site we were looking at for a car park. So it was complete insofar as, you know, we did the investigation, another report came back to council, and another action has come out of that. In terms of part A, which is about the land owned by the Uniting Church, it just hasn't gone any further. And again, after my last follow-up, hasn't even been an acknowledgement or any sort of response.
If I could, the first item, the Lockhart Main Street parking, it all looks very good. Those areas of the construction of the disabled ramps are both in place, look very good. I popped into Balmain Day, very pleased with the results, so that's all very good. Thank you very much.
Just on that same question
Okay, page 10. Page 11.
Item number 2, residential development Lockhart. I'm sure it's been mentioned before. Is there any likelihood that the council will have the opportunity to build one of those, a house on one of those sort of blocks? Has there been any appetite for that?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, I think that is something that has been discussed, and it's something that I think will in time be the subject of a report to council. So where we're at the moment is the development approvals have just come through. It's a matter now for the Director of Engineering to schedule the works involved in actually constructing the subdivision, getting all the services there, creating the blocks ready for market. As we get close to that time where the blocks are close to legally existing, if you like, we'll need to come back to council with a report that looks at, you know, appointing an agent, for example, for selling the ones we sell, setting some prices, and at that point we can look at, you know, which ones, if any, we might want to hold back for ourselves.
Page 12.
At the end of that page, it says AFL funding for the pony club stables. That I'm taking that that's not what's meant to. It's not meant to say that.
So, pony club's getting AFL funding now.
Through Mr. Mayor, that was supposed to be in the item underneath that one. The
light. Oh, we assume that.
Having mentioned that, how are we going with the lighting?
Basically, we're underfunded.
We had a fund there when we first decided to do this. How can it change?
At the time of seeking estimations of it, at the time I was under the impression that we could use the existing infrastructure. Since then, speaking to other contractors, with LED lighting, it needs to be higher. You need to have a minimum 25, preferably 28 metre towers. And two of the main lighting contractors that have done most of the work in the Riverina, one is from Wagga and one is from Sydney, they won't touch any existing infrastructure if it hasn't got engineering certification.
But what if we have a local contractor who will do it? What if that's the case?
It's a potential.
But do we need to go to the AFL standard? That's the question. We're not playing night football. And if we've got to wait for the AFL to come good with any money, we'll be waiting till the end of the year. And we can't afford to spend another $300,000 on recreation grounds.
I believe, I'm sussing out some costs to, because these are council funded projects, to get some, and I've spoken with the AFL, I've met with them, they've been to each site. They meet every 6 weeks, so any funding out of the AFL would not be long-term. So I'm hoping to get some funding out of them.
Yeah, but what sort of, if we don't go to their standard, will they fund it?
We haven't discussed that one yet.
And what would be the maximum amount we could get out of it?
They don't have a set benchmark anymore. It used to be, years ago, it used to be sort of 10%, but they don't have that anymore. And I've discussed with them, and they're quite aware that over the last couple of years, with all this grant funding, on the three major rec grounds where AFL has played, there has been close to $2.5 million worth of expenditure, which would meet the AFL funding criteria, which we have not asked for any funding. So we're hoping that will provide significant leverage to get probably more than what would normally come out of these applications for lights.
So we're still only looking at the percentage of that 300,000 short. We're going to get all that. Are we 300,000 short?
Well, it's about 220,000 per ground. No, that's how much it would cost to go to the AFL standard. So that's 660,000. I don't know what other quotes have come in, but that's $660,000, which we allocated, 93,000 to each ground?
No, 93 to the rock and 75 to lockout.
75, so 150, there's a significant shortfall.
So was that not a grant? Like, I've got all my grant papers here. Was that not a grant? Are we funding that through?
No, it was a grant, but
it's LRCI Phase 3.
What
are
the biggest problem is now?
So where's that
money
going?
Our problem is at the Rock is we're now going, this is, we asked for this back in September, we're now going into dark time of the year, we have no lights. So is it possible if we can get one stand up and the other lights LED so that at least they can see at the moment we've got nothing.
Yeah, look, that's an unfortunate situation, and I wasn't aware of the situation of the Rock Wreck ground till this recently. So I'm not quite sure what you would have done if the LRCI funding hadn't have come to light. But
look, we applied for some grants, but we thought we had the grants here. We thought the money was here. That's how we were looking at it.
Right, yeah. I've made the Rock, the Rec ground a priority, because I know since I've been made aware of the situation, and I'm looking at other quotes to try and facilitate an outcome. I've even approached the NBN Co, because you've got a NBN tower there, beautifully positioned on the wing, which would easily meet 28 metres. So I've approached them to see if we can put some lighting infrastructure on that as well.
But would any of our structures there, like previously we had a quote and those structures would be really fine for us to put lights on, and then all of a sudden now it's not. So I don't understand why, from where we had however many thousand dollars to that would be okay, and the quotes came in under that, and now it's all of a sudden not there.
Yes. So the actual price I got for the initial indication of how much it cost, he hasn't provided a quote yet.
But you do have quotes for the initial amount of money we had, or the initial project.
I've got two cost estimations, and I've got a quote, and all are underfunded at the moment.
But was that for the initial scope, or is that for what is scoped now?
I'd have to go back to it. I think it's still the initial scope. I think it's still underfunded.
From memory, I think we actually just put aside a certain amount of money in the initial instance to get quotes in.
It's missing off this last quarterly one. It was on the previous one,
yeah,
where the grounds were $93,075 for Osman and Lockhart.
As you guys know, unless we move straight away, we have no. The Rock has no training facilities, or what we got may go out.
So what happened?
Do you not have any lighting at all?
Yeah, what happened last year?
But you have some light.
No.
You have lights.
Yeah, but they go out all the time. So all of a sudden there's only one.
Why do they go out? They're old.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
They're
done. How tall are your existing towers that you've got?
We haven't got them sort of listed one after the other.
That's right.
But that'd be the 275s and the 93s. It's a question of 75.
So is there funding put aside for each of those?
Yes.
Some grant money in that LRC.
Yeah, it is in there. 243.
All up.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
can
the breakdown was
there, or put the lights on that there now and just be done with?
There was $75,000 for Osborne, $75,000 for Lockhart, and $93,000 for the Rock, and the rationale for the $93,000 for the Rock was that they got one tower there which is closest to the pool, which is not the same as the rest, so that was to bring that tower to the standard of the other three, and for lights. Now, the price estimations I got at the time would indicate that the $75,000 would provide funding for lights for existing infrastructure. So I said I'm getting another quote, and I might even get another one, and I'll get that facilitated ASAP to see if we can move forward to get an outcome for the Rock Wreck ground.
In the meantime, can we use some of that money to put a pole up and at least give us...
Well, the quickest outcome would be to put lights on your existing three poles. That would be the quickest outcome.
Yeah. within that initial quote we had, we allowed for a new pole to go up.
Yeah, new lights on the existing towers.
New lights on the existing towers.
For how much? For that? For the 93, was
yeah,
it?
Yeah, that's 93. Yeah. So if we can do that, or part of it is put up the pole and, or replace the lights or something, and then we can have a look at what's left over when the money comes through to assist if we need higher poles. I think those poles are fairly high now.
They're not 25 metres.
No, not 25 metres.
They wouldn't even be 25 at Lockhart or Osborne, would they?
You need some lights, and is the money, like, can each of the rec grounds use that money to do with the best and the most that they can? Like, can you put some lights up on existing towers and do that? Because this other money, you know, it may get it, but then also, are we, if you go and get new lights and put them on the old towers, are those lights going to be any good if you got money? Like, I hate wastage as well, so I'm saying you get new lights on there, and then it has to be taken away, though, because they're not sufficient if you get a big grant from them.
Well, you won't get money if you use the existing infrastructure, because they don't meet the AFL standards.
Yes, but that's what I mean. The AFL is everything. You know, new poles,
yeah, I know.
New lights. I'm just not sure
I'm not
we're
sure,
going to get
I'm,
there. To get
I'm
there.
Not sure there'll be many night football competitions around here.
Look, with regards to meeting the AFL's standard, I'll inquire tomorrow if that is the case or not. Otherwise, we might be wasting our time applying for funding. Find out tomorrow if they don't meet the AFL standards, or what their exactly what their standards are, because they don't talk about light tower height in their
standard
criteria.
Right.
They just talk about lumens, lux lumens. You know, 100 lux for practice games, 200 lux for competition games. That's all they talk about. So I'll find out a bit more about that, and we'll see how that... So speaking to the Osborne stakeholders, and also probably Lockhart, is that, you know, there is the potential for them to sort of see through this season. And with the extension that's been given for LRCI, that gives us greater capacity to seek other funding, because LRCI is federal money, so that gives us the capacity to maybe potentially apply for state government, whether it's through sport and rec or whatever. So it gives us that capacity there. So, but obviously the Rock Rec Ground is a bit more, their needs are a bit more immediate, a bit more dire, so we'll definitely make that a priority and see where we can get to in a...
Through Mr. Mayor, I think that there's always... delay, you know, there is delay. These things take time, right? And this particular instance is one of those ones we don't have a lot of time with, right? Because the seasons are getting colder. Is there any precedent of bridging finance be able to provide by the council until the money comes through so they get the job done now?
Money's there.
That's
right. We've got the money.
Money's there.
It's
200.
We don't have to.
We need one tower.
Well, there's 243 there.
There is 75 for Osborne, 75 for Lockhart, and 93 for the Rock.
It's there.
I think the corporate services director has said he will finalise that with AFL, whether they need to go to those things. And I'm sure Councillor Marsden will be checking up this week as to what progress we're making on that. But I think we do need to expedite that.
Yep.
Those candles.
Through Mr. Mayor, the other variable in this, if we start work, that will basically negate applying for any grants of any nature. I haven't come across a grant which will fund something retrospective once you've started it.
No, from any source.
Yep.
But if we got money already for one pole, that's a separate issue to the other three poles.
The point is correct, but if Lockhart and Osborne can get through this year, that they could be put up as a separate proposal that may, because the contract hasn't started, but if you did the Rock as a separate project, you would just separate it out from that other proposal that you're seeking to get some AFL money from.
But the ROC would still only use $93,000.
Anyway, let's see what he comes back with to tomorrow when he seeks some clarification from the AFL. All right, where are we up to? Page 13. So we've had some breakthrough with the builder on the tiles at the ROC pool, have we?
Yes, Mr. Mayor, we finally got a response last week, and they've got a new project coordinator, I think his title is. And it just happens by chance I actually know him. So he met with Tracy Hounsell and myself over the ROC pool last week, and it's the situation deteriorated even more than when I initially met with Carl from Adaptive Interior. So we're meeting with the project manager, Carl, on Wednesday, this Wednesday morning, to go and show him exactly what the whole kit and caboodle is. Probably I'll talk to the stakeholders over there, but we might need to talk about where those tiles have all fallen off, not having tiles back there. So I think if we put tiles back there with the activity that's inside that building, yeah, whether it's 2 years, 5 years, it's probably going to come across the same situation where, you know, they start pulling up with all the gym work in there. So we might discuss, you know, something alternative, just, you know, put corrugated iron there, which would be still in the context of, is corrugated iron in that external context. It, you know, probably won't look as smart as what it does or should, but long term it might be sort of a better outcome. But
the corrugated iron across the front of the
gym.
So is it because of the people in the gym that the tiles have fallen off?
No, it's not because of that. That's probably been a contributing factor, because they haven't really fallen off in too many other places. That's where they've mainly fallen off. The problem was they used a bitumen based adhesive on the fibro thing there, and it was the wrong. The project manager couldn't believe the methodology they used, anyway, look, nothing's been decided yet. We'll work out.
I don't know if I'd be happy with corrugated.
Well, one of the other issues is the current the tile format at the moment. He cannot source yellow tiles in that format. He can source yellow tiles, the same colour yellow, but they're square or they're different. So, yeah. And that would, you can still blend it in, but they won't be the long rectangular tiles.
But you can make it even more abstract.
That's right.
We'll still keep you yellow.
Yeah. The colours are there.
I'll draw a pretty picture. I like paint colouring. Yeah.
So look,
anyway,
there's some variables and hurdles to negotiate, but we'll first step is Wednesday, then I'll consult with the stakeholders. And
it's all at their cost, their rectification, is it? They're conceding that?
We're hoping so. It's probably getting outside the warranty time frame, but...
I don't know.
I think from a reputational perspective, I'm hoping that they will fund it.
Mm. So what's the warranty, do you know, on the buildings?
I wasn't.
It's only the defects liability period that you have, which is about 12 months.
Yeah, it's
generally
12 months.
Mm. Okay. Moving on to page 14. Page 15. Page 16 and the correspondence received.
You go first. The technology for the meeting room. Where are we up to with that?
Through Mr. Mayor, a purchase order has been issued, and he's ordering all the equipment. Some of the equipment changed a little bit from, because when we originally got the quote, it was sort of late last year. But actually it's worked out that I think it's actually now a bit cheaper, because I've made it a priority. I want equipment that's available sort of sooner rather than later, as opposed to getting equipment that might be a good fit, not available for a while. So yes, I'll find out this week where that's up to and how it's progressing, and I'll let the general manager know, and he might be able to include that in the mayor's email.
Councillor Matthews, did you have anything?
No,
it's the same question, was it? Okay, thank you.
Just the rock sign at the Rock Recreation Ring. Is that discussed with?
Yeah, I was having an inquest and statements. Yeah, it's going to go one on top of the other. Yeah.
Oh, right, same.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. During the version,
thank
you.
Well,
we have engineers.
Oh.
Oh, very much. I don't have to do that in person.
We have a recommendation that the status report and correspondence precy be received. Thank you, Councillor Day. Councillor Marsden. All those in favour, say aye.
Aye.
Against, carried. Staff reports, strategic direction A. And B, a dynamic and prosperous economy, is a draft policy mowing of nature strips. We have a recommendation that Council place draft policy 2.58, mowing of nature strips, on public exhibition for a period of not less than 28 days. And consider any submissions received. Do I have a mover?
With a question?
Yes, certainly. Move, Councillor Hunter. Seconded. Councillor Rockcliffe. Councillor Hunter.
So, being still new to this one, how does that work? Is there a time now to change this before it goes on public notice? Do we discuss that now?
May.
Okay. I would like to know. It says here, Council has received requests to mow elderly or infirmed residents. How many requests have been received? In what time frames?
Yeah, through you, Mr. Mayor. So just.
And from what towns?
Yes, from Lockhart, three since the time I've started, so that's 10 months.
Yep.
Three requests.
And that's it. Okay.
There was a couple that were happening at the Rock, though.
Sorry?
There was some that were happening at the Rock.
Yeah, sorry, that was just requests that I'm not sure if existing arrangements.
Because we just had this announced, but it got changed in 2012, wasn't it? So it's prior to 2012 you were mowing.
Well, I thought it was later than that, but anyway, so time slips away.
That's a fair while ago, yeah. Yes. Well, I just wanted to ask about, so if people are unable to mow their nature strips, who was mowing their yards? And if they're on some benefits or they have care packages, why can't the nature strips be mowed as well? I'm just a bit about people taking responsibility for things themselves. And well, you might have beautiful nature strips, but we might have some yards that are not so beautiful or unsightly. My opinion.
It's a good question, and do you have an answer, Mr. Director?
Certainly, through you, Mr. Mayor. Yeah, I understand if yards can be unsightly. We do have, council has powers if overgrown blocks and things like that, where we can issue orders and ask people to mow. But if it's, you know, not overgrown, or like sometimes it can be hard, there's not a lot council can do. But we certainly, yeah, like at the same time, if someone was doing an overgrown block, we would be saying the nature strip should be done at the same time,
yep.
Certainly.
I'm just wondering if you're opening a bit of a... I know that there is criteria down there to meet, but, you know, if funds are tight, we don't have all the staff for parks and gardens, are we just opening a bit of can of worms opening ourselves up?
Was initially when a lot of the elderly people were on corner blocks and they had a fair bit of nature strip, and most of those, from my experience, their own house was quite well made. They still did it themselves, but just had trouble doing the front nature strip. So it's really again at the discretion of the director as to whether we should be doing it.
And does he have time to process lots of applications?
Oh, well, I'm sure he's...
You know, word spreads, that's all.
I'm sure his local Parks and Gardens people would make the initial, you know.
Yeah, could I... Yeah, just through you, Mr. Mayor. Yeah, well, not only the assessment, but also that's why the policy is quite clear. I have made it clear that it is only based if we have the resources. So it is the lowest priority. Obviously, everything else needs to happen. If we don't have staff, if we don't have time, then it doesn't get done. But it was to try and, I guess, tidy up some areas. But certainly if it's peak mowing season and, you know, our staff don't have time to do it and people ring up saying do it, well, the answer would be, sorry, we don't have the resources to do it.
I have a question. The, between the house and the road, obviously that's the nature strip road. The other side of the garden is quite often overgrown as well. There's grass growing. That usually is mowed by your people.
Yeah, through Mr. Bear, I'm not quite sure. It's a tricky one having grass growing on the other side of the curb, certainly
the
nature strip.
And the road,
yeah.
Right?
I think generally.
Up in Green Street, that's exactly what happens up there on the corner of the curb.
Yeah, certainly, and that's the policy, I think. There was also a part about those key areas that people are seeing, so Green Street is one example, but the other streets in Lockhart. Council doesn't mow that section, so it's those key like entrances to towns, villages, things like that. Council will do. Which it is, yes,
yeah.
Based on that. Yep.
So I'm with Councillor Hunter. I sort of think that it's a wonderful environment we live in, and there's so much community spirit in the area. I think people will mow each other's lawns without control, without having to be involved.
Actually, I've got a point there, Mr. Mayor.
Councillor Marsden.
I've seen the policy that I've read through three or four times. It'd be a holder of a current pension and concession card or service pension or whatever. Well, if you're part of the NDIS, you're entitled to somebody to mow your lawn. So all of a sudden, these people are now going to ask us to mow a lawn where they can get people in to mow their lawn. So how do you qualify... Who's eligible and who's not?
So does NDIS guarantee they'll mow the nature strip?
Yeah, that's the big thing.
It depends on your package and how you wish to use your packages.
Yeah.
Mm. But, you know, like, well, then people not mow because they might get us to mow. And
yeah.
Mr. Director.
I'm a giver. I like giving.
Yeah, I think it's not opening any can of worms. It's under the control of the council. It's under the control of the director. If there's a block on the edge of one of the streets that just no one mows or no one does anything to, and the council go along when they're doing something else, being done, happy days. Let's move on.
Although I'm only interested with that point where it says the criteria is not guaranteed council service would depend on resource availability. I mean, there's no guarantee you guys are going to be doing it, how busy it is, whatever. We'll cop flack about the fact that it is part of the council requirements and
Councillors, please, through the chair, when we're having the discussion. I just might point out to councils that we own the land, so they are under no obligation to...
Well, we're going to do everyone's.
No. I think we're most people on goodwill like to have a nice nature strip and whatever, but there are certain circumstances where people are not equipped to do it. And I think it's not overtaxing our resources at the moment, is it?
No, not currently, but I think that's why I wanted to include that clause about... resources.
Right. Yep. That's good. Everything is subject to availability. All right, we have a mover and a seconder. Yes. Put that. All those in favour say aye.
Aye.
Against? Carried. Item 2, review of policy collection of firewood from council road reserves and dead standing trees. The recommendation is that council give notice of proposed rescission of policy 2.35, collection of firewood from council road reserves and dead standing trees. Have a mover. Councillor Walker, seconder.
Question.
Councillor Marson, question.
So, are they allowed to pick up wood from the road, or they're not allowed to pick up wood from the road? Because we rescind this policy that's here. I'm just a bit confused on that.
Yeah, through you, Mr. Mayor. So they wouldn't be allowed to pick up firewood from the side of the road, or cut trees down, or branches
so
and things on the side of the road.
A few years ago, we opened the roadway up. Now we're closing it down.
So under the current policy, community members can apply to get a permit from council to get firewood from the side of the road. So the proposal is to remove that policy. So that's correct.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, and most of that is probably litigation, is it?
Yeah, correct. There's a number of issues, but certainly that's one. If someone's operating under council's permit, there's an accident or an issue in the road reserve. Yeah, 100%.
Who's going to police it?
That extra resource.
Yeah, through you, Mr. Mayor. I think that's some of the issues with the current policy is that some roads are permitted, others aren't. How do you police that? I feel like it would be easier. Anyone spotted doing anything on any road is obviously not allowed, compared to now having to check the map as to which road is it permitted, is it not permitted, does someone have a permit. That's much more intensive than a blanket. There's no, it's not permitted, so anyone doing it straight away, you would know that they were in breach.
I may have asked this question last time we put this policy up, but how many complaints have we had?
I think complaints is a problem. It does not meet the council obligation on New South Wales Biodiversity Conservation Act 2016. There's not going to be too many local people that are going to read that and come along and say, well, you shouldn't pick it up. It's not going to happen. But the reality is it was brought in for a specific reason. The government brought in the Biodiversity Conservation Act, and that's what they require us to do. My greatest concern is that with all these things, we as the council's going to be very careful. We sort of, if we fight our arms and say, that's it, boys, it's all over Red Rover, you don't get your dirt and wood here anymore. We, you know, we look very... the biodiversity side of things is good. We need to come up with, look for an alternative. We need to look for a compromise, some way in which people who want to get wood, where they're going to get it from, right? Maybe there's got to be, and I don't know, a council man, we put them over in there saying, yeah, any farmers in the area that have got land, they'd like people to come, put your name down there, take a phone call, whatever. If you just cut off the supply, they're going to break the law unless we can find some form of compromise. I don't know what that compromise is, but it's a duty. Well, I understand why you want to do it, and you should do it, but if we don't find a compromise, it could be difficult for the
Well, let's see what the public exhibition brings forth, eh? Okay, I'll put that. All those in favour, say aye. Against, carried. Engineering Environmental Services Report. Environmental Services Report. The recommendation there is the Council notes the information provided in the Engineering and Environmental Services Report. Do I have a mover? Councillor Walker, seconded. Councillor Rockcliffe, questions? No questions. I'll put that then. All those in favour say aye.
Aye.
Item 4, Investment and Bank Balances Report. Very healthy at the moment. Recommendation that the 31st of March 2023 Investment and Bank Balances Report be received and noted, that the responsible accounting officer statement be noted and report be adopted. Do I have a mover? Councillor Rockcliffe, Councillor Day. Questions? No questions. I'll put that then. All those in favour say aye.
Aye.
Against, carried. Item 5 is conflict of interest policy, council related developments. The recommendation that draft policy 2.58, conflicts of interest, council related development as publicly exhibited, be adopted. Mover, Councillor Walker, Councillor Rockcliffe, questions? There's none. There was no things. I'll put that. All those in favour say aye.
Aye.
Against? Carried. Item 6, Australian Policy 1.25, Australian Citizenship Ceremonies Dress Code. Recommendation that the Policy 1.25, Australian Citizenship Ceremonies Dress Code, as publicly exhibited, be adopted. Councillor Rockcliffe. Councillor Day. Questions? None. I'll put that. All those in favour say aye.
Aye.
Against? Carried. Policy 1.27, Australia Day Awards. Recommendation that Policy 1.27, Australia Day Awards, as publicly exhibited, be adopted. Councillor Rockcliffe. Councillor Hunter. Questions? Yes.
So, do we ever get feedback as to what public viewing opinions
there are? Well, it says that that would be included in the what do you call it?
Report. In the report, if there were.
In the report, if there was any. Yeah. Then we'd debate whether we'd make those changes. Okay. I'll put that then. All those in favour, say aye. Against, carried. Policy review, policy 1.12, debt recovery procedures. Recommendation that policy 1.12, debt recovery procedures as presented, be adopted. Mover? Councillor Walker?
Question.
Yes. Councillor Rockcliffe, Councillor Walker.
Just how much debt have we got outstanding on rates and stuff like that?
Mr. Director.
Through Mr. Mayor, sorry, what was the question?
What's our current state of debt, our outstanding debts?
Oh, I'd have to take that on notice. It's usually, historically, it's been around about 5 or 6 or 7%, which we're usually fairly low, but I think at the moment it's probably, I'd have to take that on notice, sorry, Mr. Mayor. I don't know the exact figure offhand.
No, I just heard on the radio today that Lake Angelica and all that sort of out there, they're starting to sell houses because rates hasn't been paid for like 30 years and stuff like that, and I just wondered.
It's been about 5 years, haven't they?
Yeah, there were some that haven't paid up for 30 years or something, so they're selling them up.
Well, one thing that's worth noting, Mr. Mayor, is every year when we table the annual financial statements and the auditor addresses the council, there's half a dozen benchmarks, you know, that are highlighted. One of them is our outstanding rates ratio, and we're always meet the benchmark. So in terms of how we compare, you know, we compare favourably, I suppose, in that respect.
Yeah, so 5%. Yeah,
yeah. 5% is generally industry standard. If you've got your debts under 5%.
No, that's pretty good. That's
Yeah.
I was like, one little discussion. The outstanding amount is over $600. I mean, our rates are now way over that $600 mark. So if they miss a year, we're up for debt recovery. Do you think we should increase that amount from $600 to, say, $1,000?
Yeah, but it may not be for rates either. It could be for other issues, services incurred by council that...
Fines.
Huh?
Fines.
Hmm. That's right.
So what if the fines are less than 600? So we don't chase them?
Well, the general manager has discretionary to write off certain debts.
Yeah. I realise that, but once you've got debt, you've got to have debt collectors come in and there's additional costs. Going to collect that money.
Well, 70% of something is better than 100% of nothing, I guess.
Generally speaking, through you, Mr. Mayor, the debt collectors take a percentage out of what they get and you get the remainder.
That's right.
You're not actually out of pocket.
Yeah.
Like if you're in debt, they go and chase $10 for you get $8 of that back and they take $2. So you're not,
So we're going to get debt collectors for under $600 or a percentage?
We'll get an explanation from the director.
That's why there's no one's going to come for $300.
Through Mr. Mayor, look, I think it's probably fair to say, I think your council is, let's say, more than generous with its endeavours and time to give people the opportunity to repay it back or make arrangements to pay it back. If it gets to the stage where they've gone to debt collection, that means council has effectively exhausted every possible avenue, and that is even making a payment arrangement. So if they make a payment arrangement to pay back, you know, $25 a week or a fortnight, that means it doesn't go to debt collection. So there was a lot of steps in place before it gets to debt collection. And I think council is probably gives more than considerate in that process.
Yep.
I suppose if you identify it a little bit different, we sort of a very significant way of looking at your operations, your debt, is your bad debts, is your debts. And I think that sort of the reportability in our business, we go 30, 60, 90. If you get over 90 days, then we start getting cranky with it. You know, is there the ability to look at this? I mean, we have rates we pay four times a year. Don't pay this year, that's four, next one eight. So do we go out to 2021, 2022? Is there any method of determining how old these debts are as well? Because it's not just the value of them, it's the age of them as well, because then it becomes... And the next question I have is it possible to fold away of Gunnedah and several other quite a few of the shires that are taking the action of, because of the debt, we can sell the properties on? Is that something that I'm not suggesting we do it, but I just want to know the legal aspect to it. Do we have the right to do that? So we can sell a property, don't we?
Through Mr. Mayor, yes. If for a residential property, if the rates are outstanding or the no payment been made for over 5 years, council can go through the process of putting that up for sale. Federation, I believe, have tried that at least once over the last in recent times, and generally that triggers payments. It's a last resort. But unlike sort of general business debts, rates are a debt on the land. So whenever a place is sold, we are guaranteed of getting our payment.
Hmm.
So it's a debt on the land. The debt never goes away.
I personally like to see on a regular basis the level of outstanding debts to keep a bit of a handle on it. I think from my viewpoint, that's what I sort of see, and then those are great if that could come as a... something that you can provide to us every 6 months or so we can see how it's tracking
whatever. Yep, through Mr. Mayor, I can include that in the fund statement or at least the quarterly budget review.
That would be very appropriate, I think, Mr. Director.
Yep.
Thank you. Further questions? Okay, I'll put that then. All those in favour say aye.
Aye.
Against? Carried. And we're here at questions and statements. All right, on my left, Councillor Marsden.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I have two quick points. First one is we had a look at the brief of engineering. We had a look at the polygon woods culverts thing. The approach is either side. The trees are getting closer and closer onto the road, and the farmers were complaining about. Especially if they're going to pull off, there's other cars coming, the high vehicles.
Won't be able to cut those streets.
They look good. Can we get somebody to have a look, see what it means trimming? That'd be great. And the other one is for possibly General Manager. Is we've had two floods in the Rock, and we've got this $70,000 pump. It hasn't been deployed once, and on both occasions it could have been deployed, and looks like we're doing things, which is one of the main objectives of that. Is it possible, I had a look at SES at the same time, they were attending where a tree had fallen onto electricity wires, so they had no manpower to man it. Is it possible that the council could do it?
Can I jump in? Yeah, through you, Mr. Mayor. The general manager has asked me that exact same question. So basically, I'm going to be discussing with the Rock staff. I've had discussions with SES. They felt the one of the last storms that it wouldn't have made a huge difference was the feedback I got. But certainly, they're tied up with sandbagging properties, doing other things, whereas we have, and they're obviously volunteer basis. So it would make sense if we have the access, we can direct staff to go out and put the pump out. So I'm following that one up, and I'll let you know.
Thanks, Mr. Director. That's it.
Thank you. Councillor Day.
Well, I'd just like to say thank you to the staff, because whenever I write to them, which is regularly, probably daily sometimes, I'd just like to thank them all very, very much for answering so swiftly all the time and with great answers. So much appreciated.
Thank you, Councillor Day. Councillor Driscoll.
Okay, I've got a few things. First thing to the Director of Engineering, do we have...
Through you, Mr. Baird, no, we don't. I have to follow up. Yes, we're looking at trialling, hiring one short term from Wagga just to see how it goes, and then making plans whether we continue with that. We have got other councils come and do sweeps, but I just want to trial a few different machines before we make a decision.
It's just that with autumn and the leaves, clogging drains.
Yep.
That was a question from a community member. Do we have the street sweeper? I've had a complaint from a person using our toilets and showers and the public toilets at the rec ground. And I had a look in there. They're not really very clean. I don't know whether you need a high powered hose in there every so often just to get the mud and silt and that's in there. People walking in off the off the ground, but this is about the time I brought up the condition of the toilets, and I was just wondering if there could be a better way of. And I did ask before, and I think you said every day they're done every day, but I don't know if that's the case.
Yeah, through you, Mr. Mayor. Yeah, I'm not sure how often, but I think there was. I'll have to discuss that with the Director of Corporate. There was some arrangement about a staff member over at the Rock was meant to be taking that on, but I don't know if that eventuated as was actually meant to happen. So I'll just, need to look into what is actually happening.
That would be great, because we're getting really negative feedback from and we're actually getting a lot of campers coming through now. It needs a little bit of attention. My two other things are I'll be attending the water conference in Parks on the 26th, 27th, 28th of June as part of River and Water. So I'm not sure if Lockhart Shire is sending anybody to the And the other thing, I just wanted to give you some facts and figures about our observatory. So at the moment, Michael Maher, who is our chief scientist there, he has 110 email contacts that he sends out and lets know what's going on. We have a really lovely band of volunteers that turn up every single Saturday night, and they've had over 500 people go through the observatory on Saturday nights. We've also had a couple of busloads come down from Sydney who are interested, and there's some contacts over. You're right, Sarah. In the USA, who just keep in contact with Michael and converse with him around everything astronomy. So that's just a little bit of facts and figures for you, isn't it?
Very good information.
That should be right there.
Right, Councillor Matthews.
As from the earlier meeting today, the traffic can Shire Council Traffic Committee meeting, can we ask whether or not the idea of going from 40 to 40, 50 to 40, just in that main CBD area there, is possible? There was an article that came through from New South Wales. Reconciliation New South Wales will be investing a statewide breakfast event to local councils. I'm reading it. Reconciliation New South will be live streaming a statewide breakfast event to local councils in New South Wales and invites councils to host their own concurrent National Reconciliation Week breakfast locally. Councils buy a ticket to view the live stream will receive an event activation pack including digital, etc. In New South Wales, it's in the from 27th to 3rd of June. I'd like to suggest that the council do put a breakfast on for reconciliation in that week between the 27th and the 3rd. My thoughts would be very simple, just an egg and bacon roll at the Ex-Servicemen's Club. We could get the big screen there, because when the big screen goes up, this theme encourages all Australians to be a voice for reconciliation and for the work of past generations. Who's going to do it? Either the New South Wales breakfast is going to be co-hosted by Bacon McKenzie and include a speaker keynote. So they've got it all, there's a nice big screen up there. There'll be a video on there for a little while. What I'd like to suggest that we invite a representative from a lot of our organisations, from our 355 committees and schools or whatever, just not to have an open day, say anyone wants to come along, but specifically invite each of the organisations and a representative on to have that for the National Reconciliation Week. So breakfast for National Reconciliation Week. I'm more than happy to get organising that if there was any interest in that.
Is it a grant for that, is it?
There's no grant. They just give you a... they provide the swearing video. I've checked with the school. We can have the school's video thing, and people I've talked to said yes, they'll send... if we invite various people, they'll come along, like a 355 committee, someone from Progress, someone from the football club, someone from the school, they'll come along to attend that breakfast.
Can I suggest that for the next meeting, Councillor Matthews, you bring back some potential costings for that so that we could approve that as a...
Okay.
Mm.
It's the 27th of June.
So that will give us...
Reconciliation. Cronky's Fence, I'm not sure what we do with this. When you come into Lockhart from Urana, there's this great big pile of rubbish that's along the side of the road. And I think previously, a long time ago, the council at the time would put some trees along there to try to cover it up. It's not covered up. We'll never get rid of it. It's a disgrace. It looks bad when you come in. I'm not sure what the options are. If we can look at options, I mean, the best options is to put a bloody big fence along there to stop people looking at it. But that's a cost. I don't think Cronky's going to contribute to the sliders, right? But if we don't cover it up, he's never going to move it until the poor bugger dies, and he's not going to die for a while. So we just need to sort of get the, we need to come up with some alternatives in terms of covering it up. I'm not sure. Is that something you can at least have, like, you know, driving out that way to see the problem?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, certainly happy to have a look at it. Yep.
Okay. Last thing on there, no, two things. The trees, we talked about the trees in the apple trees down in on East Street, right? The ones on East Street, and which is the Aubrey Road. Of course, there's a lot of, I hear a lot of complaints about the candle is wrong on that corner, right? On the corner of Green Street, and the candle's wrong, the trucks don't like it. Now that we've removed all those apple trees, does it give us the opportunity? I don't know who would be funding that. I imagine it'd be the Brave Main Roads or something like that. Is it possible to have a look at that to see whether or not there's... because the camber is bad, and not that we've had a truck roll over, but it's not unreasonable to expect some problems. But now that the trees are gone, the opportunity arises. So if we could look at that. And the last thing I had... for you, Mr. General Manager, the Red Fleet, we haven't heard about the Red Fleet for a long time. Has that gone away, or is that still a problem?
It hasn't gone away. I know prior to the state election, and even at local government conferences the Mayor and I attended prior to Christmas, the then opposition did raise an expectation that if they were to win government, they would address the issue. They haven't as yet, but... it's probably early days. In one of our recent RE-ROC working parties, we discussed the issue and made the point whether it was appropriate time to just recommence our representations on a regional level. So it hasn't gone away, hasn't been resolved, and we are looking at doing something through RE-ROC with the other councils to add weight to it.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Councillor Hunter.
Just on the Walk of Fame, is that nominations closed?
They'll be submitted to, I think, the council meeting.
Yep. So do the people who put in nominations get notified?
They will be notified.
I've just been asked by somebody who put a nomination in
yeah.
what was happening, and they thought they might have had something back by now.
There's a few loose ends to tie, but it's pretty well done.
So they'll get a letter anyway,
they
notification.
Letter one way
yeah,
one.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Walker?
Oh, just for the Director of Engineering, have we engaged any contractors yet for heavy patching, or has it started, underway, or are we still waiting? Or
through you, Mr. Mayor, yeah, we have the bigger program with the $2.4 million will mostly be heavy patching, so we're going to be ramping up our heavy patching, so we've done some smaller patches at the moment, but definitely most of that money will be going towards heavy patching program.
When is that available? When are we get to discuss
that's,
that?
Council.
That was the end of the year, wasn't it? End of financial year.
The program will start the financial year. It's not that allocation is not something generally I don't believe council would discuss which roads would be done.
Oh, okay. Well, no, well, sorry, I was under the impression that we. That's good though. That's all right.
That's you. Councillor Rockcliffe.
Congratulations to the Parks and Gardens of the towns. The entrances into town look great. They really do. It's very good. Just into town, into Lockhart, there's a certain house in Green Street, I think it's number 20. If we could have a look at trying to do something with that house, it has used cars sitting up there, it has beds and all sorts of stuff out the front of the lawn. Unfortunately, it is on the main street into town, so it's just not a really good look.
Yeah, through you, Mr. Mayor, thanks for the comments about town entrances. Just in regards to the house, I know our staff have been in contact with the owner of the property just to raise the issue as well, so we're definitely trying to get something to happen there.
Thank you. That it, Councillor Rockcliffe? That's you?
Sorry. Yes.
You didn't want to mention this one? Okay. All right, Councillor Driscoll took my question. I was asking about street cleaning because it is becoming a major issue, so hopefully we can work something there. I don't have any questions, Mr. General Manager. Do you have any?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. All good.
Mr. Director of Corporate?
No, all good. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Director of Engineering?
No, all good. Thank you.
Sorry,
all good.
So just on the street cleaning, there was $40,000 allocated in the budget for street cleaning and repairs and maintenance. So there's money in the budget for that street cleaning, I'm guessing.
We've got to get one. Sorry, Mr. Director.
Yeah, sorry, through you, Mr. Mayor. I think, yeah, I'll have to check. There was a report put up, I believe, by the previous director, and I'm not sure if... Is that money... Are you talking about just for street sweeping maintenance? Well, I think there was money to...
Oh, it was just a headline done.
I think there was money to look at purchasing one to do the footpaths, but,
yeah. There was.
I think they did get quotes at the time, but they came in way over what the budget allocation was. Because we never had one before, we used to use Grady Humes. That was the issue. And I think, the former director put a report to council, but I think the type of machine that he was looking for, that would be, flexible enough to do, the bigger jobs and the smaller jobs, just couldn't find one on the market or they were ultra expensive.
Thank you.
All right, there be no further business. I'll declare the meeting closed. Thank you all for your attendance. Thank you, Sarah.